Well, we are so glad you are here, and we are so glad you are here. You probably all know, but April has been through craziness in the last couple weeks. You all know that, right?
Yeah.
And she did not bow out. Now, she did try, but wasn't allowed to. And our verse that she's going to talk about is Proverbs 31:17, that she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So she has moved boxes, packed boxes, unpacked boxes, and hit her head this morning on the bike rack. And but isn't she a strong woman? So we have a speaker who's been right through the fire, and she's going to share what God has told her. So let's pray for her, and thank you for coming and being here. Father, thank you so much that when we accept responsibility and say that we'll do something, that you just give us lessons in that so that we're speaking truth right from our experience. And so I thank you for April. I thank you that you gave her such a willing heart and that she is just going to share with us, and pray that you would apply it to our lives. We all need to be stronger in things that we know we should do, that we should be, and for discipline and strength in our lives. So thank you, and would you just come and empower her with the words that you have and give us ears that hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, we live in a kind of a topsy-turvy America lately, where selfishness is really seen as virtuous. Evil is listed as good, and perversion is listed as purity. It's no wonder that there's a lot of confusion about what makes true feminine strength. The phrase, like a girl, used to be like a pejorative. You know, boys would be like, oh, you throw like a girl, you fight like a girl, you play ball like a girl. Ooh. And instead of laughing about it and just being like, yep, that's one of the realities of life, women are weaker physically than men, we don't take it personally. You know, it wasn't a personal slam against women. At least you shouldn't have taken it that way. But feminists kind of took those things, those slogans, and take it into a banner of honor. It was an insult, but we're going to take it back. Kind of like cat ladies for Kamala. You'd see t-shirts, lift like a girl, fight like a girl. Now, they really aren't embracing, like, hey, do things the way God made you. Embrace how God made you. Be like a girl. It's really seen in shirts like, I know I run like a girl. Try to keep up. Yes, I throw like a girl. You want a lesson? Anything a man can do became women can do and better. The ultimate goal, though, of feminists, and this is what really got me away from feminism, other than God's word, is that feminists didn't want to make women equal to men. They wanted to make women into men. It's the ultimate self-hatred. It's ironic that the radicals, they kind of jettisoned what true feminine strength is for a counterfeit strength that mimics masculinity. It does it very poorly. Women are very poor men. They replace a true feminine fortitude with a false sense of strength. It's twisted, it's ugly, it's tyrannical, it's definitely not feminine, it's not beautiful. It's one that presents the unborn as a sacrament on the altar labeled choice. So what I wanted to do is to journey into, well, then what is actual biblical feminine strength? What does that mean? In Proverbs 31:17, our model of a virtuous woman clothes herself with it. She makes her arms strong. Does this have to do with physical strength? Are we going to dress ourselves with this, or are we going to dress ourselves? What would it mean to dress ourselves with weakness, with the opposite? So you're going to find that in the Proverbs 31 woman, she's going to put forth her utmost effort in all her business and does what she does not in her own strength. But spoiler alert, she's doing it all in the strength of Christ. Okay? She's putting forth, it's her utmost effort. When you think of strength, you can think of utmost effort. And the strength is the strength of Christ, not her own. So I love defining terms. I like knowing what I'm talking about and what do things mean, because otherwise you kind of chase off on the wrong topic. So strength, if you look at Oxford Dictionary, it's just the quality or state of being physically strong. But it can't just mean just physical strength. The second meaning, which I found very interesting in the Oxford Dictionary, that is closer, I think, to the biblical meaning, is the capacity or ability of an object or a substance, a person, to withstand a great force or pressure. It's the ability to withstand a pressure. So in the Bible, the strength or being strong, if you do a search on a Bible app or in your concordance, whenever strength and the word strength or the word strong is used, it is always referring to a mental or a spiritual strength primarily. So a mental or spiritual strength with God as the source. If you look at, there's a verse page in your packet, and it's just full. And these are just some of them, just a lot of the very first ones or the ones that I found important. You know, God says he will strengthen us. If you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. God is the strength of my heart. The Apostle Paul, when I'm weak, then I am strong, because he's depending on Christ. The God in Habakkuk 3:19, the Lord is my strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and some say might, sometimes it says strength. Be strong and courageous, do not fear. So that is not necessarily, yes, there's a physical side, but to be strong and is to be courageous. So when we are weak, we are strong when we are depending on the Lord. The call to be strong, the call to be courageous is a call for faith and fortitude. There is a fabulous, fabulous podcast I listened to earlier and re-listened to it for this talk. It's called The Virtue of Fortitude. It was Brian and Lexi Sauve host a podcast called Bright Hearth. And it's very, very helpful. And this one was called, they're going through virtues. And this was the virtue of fortitude. And the definition of fortitude is just strength in the face of hardship. So Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who is full of fortitude. It is the strength in the face of hardship. We could say endurance, courage. You could say steadfastness. It's a virtue that the Holy Spirit works through you. It's not something you just muster up on your own. It is something that is directed by faith, again, in Christ. It's directed by knowledge and reason. So the Proverbs 31 woman, she is strong in faith. In Isaiah 30:15, it says, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. So your strength is found in the trust you have in the Lord. Lexi in that program said, you can't have fortitude without faith. Faith that continues to be active in the face of things going wrong. Just like with metals, their true strength is tested when there's pressure on it or by fire. Your strength of character is not going to show up when everything is going great. It's going to show when things are going wrong. When God brings a trial in your life is when you're going to see, do I really have this mental strength? Do I really have this courage? In Matthew Henry's concise commentary, he says that she has the firmness to bear up under crosses and disappointments. So the characteristics of a woman clothed in strength, the first one is she is full of trust and faith in God. Full of trust and faith in God to give her the strength for her work that he's asking her to do that day. Okay?
Excuse me. read the room. Everyone, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
It's all good. So, in order to, Christ says to take up our cross and follow him daily. It's a day-to-day thing. So, do you have to get up early? Do you want to spend more time in God's word? Do you need to honor your parents today? Do you need to love your child even though they're sick and you're not feeling well? Or whatever it is, to be clothed in strength, you're trusting that God is equipping you, as he said, for the tasks for that day. That he's going to get you through. So when you think, I just cannot be loving today because I don't feel good or I'm upset or whatever, no, you can. You have the strength, you have the ability. And so you move forward, constant in prayer, depending on the source of your strength. A woman clothed in strength understands her duty and does it cheerfully despite trials. I was waking up and not feeling cheerful and just getting overwhelmed with this whole process of the move. And I need to be joyful. I need to be cheerful. God has blessed me. And I was realizing there that verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It just never really clicked sometimes. Sometimes it's just in like, you know, you sing the song, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not a morning person all the time. It hit me. I'm like, when, you know what? I am counting it joy. I am happy to be here. I am joyful to be here. And you find this energy physically and mentally to get up and go about your day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It does help you when you willfully choose, I am going to be thankful, be joyful. When I'm grumbling or starting to be complaining about all the millions of little things and stopping and saying, no, I am going to be thankful for this. I will be thankful. Somebody who's joyful, somebody who's smiling, it's not a put on. I know who I am and God is going to take care of it. Thank you, Lord. A thankful person, a joyful person is a strong person. The complainer is weak. Unfortunately, I've chosen weakness many times. If you want to be strong, so my head, it came in. If you want to be strong, sing a song to the Lord. Okay. I was like, you know, the sacrifice of praise. What are you listening to? You know, I tell this to my kids mostly because I'm preaching it myself. Music is powerful. God gave it to us. So am I listening to words that are going to empower me through what they're telling me about who God is? If I'm listening to sappy songs or just ones that are complaining or life is hard or, you know, that's getting in my mind. So what music are we listening to? Let's be strong in knowing hymns, memorizing them. She is, when it talks about, there's some translations that say not just that she clothes herself, but she girds herself with strength, which is kind of an old term, where Gill's exposition says she is showing her readiness in every good work and with what cheerfulness, spirit, and resolution she sets about it, and with what dispatch and expedition she performs it. The allusion is to girding and tucking up of the long garments that were worn in the Middle East countries when any work was set about in earnest, which required dispatch. So this idea of we're tucking it in, we're choosing joy, it is strength to choose not to complain. It is strength to choose to be joyful. That is a strong person. A woman who's clothed into strength, she has trust and faith in God. She understands her duty. She's cheerful, willingly so. It is a sacrifice. She's focused. She fixes her eyes on things above where her life is hidden with Christ. You have to be focused in the morning. You have to be focused when you're going about your task or you get lost in the difficulty that is life. You can be thankful. You have an eternal inheritance. You know that you have an eternal hope, an inheritance that surpasses the trials. You have to you have to make it a goal to have that time. I don't know if, I mean, if you have little kids, shutting yourself in the bathroom for even 5 minutes to get your mind on what is really important, or you're going to be, my house is important, my getting this is done, but I'm not loving my kids and I'm not loving my family and I'm letting all this go. You have to be focused. You also have to be, if you're going to be a woman clothed in strength, you have to be unbothered. Have a gentle and meek spirit. Being unbothered is not something I've practiced in, but God is working on me. These are all things I'm learning. If you have nothing to prove and you're not bothered by everything, you know who you are in Christ, that is a strong person. You're not going to be governed by your emotions, but you're going to be ruled by the Spirit of God. It is a choice. A strong person emotionally knows who you are. You have nothing to prove to anyone. You are immovable. You are confident and strong. One of my favorite books, of course, which if you have talked to me recently in the last year, you know, it's The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky. It's his magnum opus. And one of the reasons is just the characters are amazing. The protagonist, Alyosha Karamazov, shows this strength, even as a boy, in the fact that he was never riled. He overlooked offenses. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. The other boys, they would come and they would just try to rile him up, try to get him mad, and he just wouldn't. And Dostoevsky says, it's not that he didn't see the offense. It's not like he was stupid. It's not that he didn't hear it. It's not that the words didn't register. It's just he didn't see it as an offense. And in that way, he was unshakable in his morals. His refusal to take offense created rage and frustration in the other people. They were losing it. He was steady. He was strong. So if you want to be strong in the Lord, you don't take offense. You overlook them. It's not that they don't exist. It's just you're just looking above them. You don't let it bother you. So then the other part of it is she girds herself with strength. She strengthens her arms, or she exerts her arms with vigor. I loved that. That's the NAB. She exerts her arms with vigor. Gill's exposition, again, it says she strengthens her arm. She does all she finds to do with all her might and main, as the church does. Not in her own strength, but in the strength of Christ, to whom she seeks for it, and in whose strength she goes forth about her business, by whom the arms of her hands are made strong, even by the mighty God of Jacob. And because she thus applies to him for it, she is said to do it herself. So physical strength is going to be the natural result of working hard. Just your pure physical strength, and we're not talking bodybuilders, but your physical strength is a natural result of working hard. God designed humans to thrive by movement. In an article by the Mayo Clinic talked about what are the risks of sitting too much. Dr. Edward Lukowski states, when you sit, you use less energy than you do when you stand or move. Kind of a duh. Research has linked sitting for long periods of time with a number of health concerns. And he goes on and he lists them, and there are many. He says, and then later in the article, he says, any extended sitting, such as at a desk, behind a wheel, or in front of a screen, can be harmful. Extended sitting. I was on the Wellcoa Wellness Committee at my job in my former life, and we learned and we researched a lot of just the health benefits of just standing and walking around for a little bit, every little bit, once an hour or so. And they just said, you know, these employees, we're asking our employees to sit here, and they're sitting, and we're just setting them up for all these health risks. So as a woman, whatever your vocation, whether you're home, whether you're young, whether you're old, we are made to physically be active, and we're not talking marathons. Just walking, standing, just physically being able to stand and walk around even a little bit is much better for us. So think of the tasks God has you to do. Caring for your kids, Well, play with them. That doesn't mean you have to, again, climb the tree. Maybe it does. But walking around with them. I was going to say sit on the floor, but my knees don't like that. But standing, walking around, running errands, working in the garden. These are day-to-day things. Visiting friends, okay? Getting up and moving around. I've seen with my dad, just sitting around, laying around, does not help you mentally either. Cleaning the house. God gave the dominion mandate to Adam and Eve. She was part to take dominion, to subdue the earth. She was made to work. The 1950s version of the woman who just looks pretty in her heels and doesn't do much all day but shop is not the vision God had for us. He wanted us to be strong, and he wanted us to work. So physical fitness, the Bible does say, is of some benefit. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for while bodily training is of some value, okay, it doesn't mean it's valueless. There is a value there. But godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So physical fitness is only so good as that it's going to allow us to better serve others. That's the point. If you take too much time on it, you're taking it away from your primary duties. If you are leaning towards vanity and being obsessed about how great your abs look, probably something you need to reassess. The point isn't to keep yourself healthy to look great, or not even to feel great, though you will get that benefit, but it is so you can be a stronger vessel for your people. People in church, people at home, whatever. There's not a lot of excuses now, because you can even find chair cardio, okay? There is chair strength training. There is, you know, and most of the time, if you can fit in a half an hour most days of the week, you're going to get a benefit. There are plenty of online videos. I can't deal with trying to come up with a regimen for myself. That's just one more thing in the morning I don't want to deal with. I just go online. I've got my regular people. There's a place called Christ Glorified Fitness that she starts with scripture. You can be like, I have a 20 minutes. Sometimes it's been I have 15 minutes. I only have 15 minutes and I got something to do. Find the video. She's going to say God's word. You go through, you follow along. It's unbelievably walking around the block. There is a link to our mental wellness and with your physical wellness that you can't ignore. God made us physical beings. He does expect us to be physically able in what capacity? Obviously, we are not all going to be marathon runners, whatever. God understands that, but we want to be strong. We don't need to bench press our own weight, but we're not going to willingly be frail and weak. We go based on what can I do. So we don't want to be weak emotionally. We don't want to dress ourselves. Lastly, we talked about what characteristics we should be following, some physical benefits, but mostly we don't want to dress ourselves with weakness. Talked about the feminist strength, view of strength, is usually mimicking poorly behaved men. I mean, if you think about what the feminists put through as, you know, this is a, wow, look at this woman, the it girl, the girl who people want to be like now. They're mimicking poorly behaved men. Cursing, they're promiscuous, they're loud. And I don't mean like laughing and chuckling and joyful. I mean like Vodi Bakum said regarding loud women, you can hear her before you see her. You know the type, don't be that type. And we're not talking again of being a joyful laughing person that people can hear. They're loud, they're out. No offense, Karen, they're the Karens. Okay? All right? You know what I mean. That's the mean. That don't be that. We're not pushing our own agenda. Okay? We're not that type. A weak woman has a victim mentality. Woe is me. My life is so hard. She's posting and broadcasting her life and all her woes. How difficult her life is so that everybody can know and feel sorry and cater to her. That is not a strong woman. That is a weak woman. She is, Brian Sauvay said, she's envious. She's fussing. She's always complaining. That's weak. I'm just stating my mind. I'm not going to. It's a morbid introspection looking further and further inward. You're thinking about your feelings. How do I feel? What are you feeling? How are we doing? All the time. We're not talking like getting godly counsel because you're having a struggle. Getting godly wisdom from people who can actually help you out. We're talking about always talking what's going wrong, how bad things are, how tough is. Life is hard. But we need to, if we're going to be strong women, to focus upward where the source of our strength is actually found. We don't let God define us if you're weak. Weak women define themselves. They follow their hearts. They are led along with the culture. And is it Black Lives Matter? Okay, she's right on there. Okay, I'm going to better post that on my Facebook so everybody knows I'm for that. Oh, is it for the Ukraine? Oh, I better do that. Oh, is it for Pride Month? I better do that. And she's just every whim, every emotion, whatever's going on, she is just getting carried away and she's weak. Weak women prioritize themselves and they're focused on their own self-fulfillment. I watch some shows on like Mount Everest, and I Shouldn't Be Alive. And to me, I don't know if any of you have had anyone who's done Mount Everest, and this take it for what it is, but it's really selfish to want to climb Mount Everest, especially when you have kids. It is so expensive. It is so dangerous. But these people are lauded as they were following their dream. They were following what they wanted. They died doing what they wanted to do. They put their family, you know, it's selfishness. A strong woman is not selfish. It is not a priority for you to fulfill you. That doesn't mean you don't do anything fun. It doesn't mean, obviously. But it does mean, am I pushing my goal? Am I pushing my agenda, my life, my way, so that I can get my fulfillment at the expense of, that's the key, at the expense of my people? And I say my people because it's either you've got family, but you've got church family, you've got work family. So that completely seeking self-fulfillment, when you want to gain your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake, you will gain it. So let's not be weak. Let's imitate God's example that he gave us in Proverbs. It's going to be a little at a time. It's going to be an every moment type of thing. It's every thought captive. You have to endure, to obey in every little increment. When you start lifting weights or exercising, it's going to be very, very small. You can't expect that you're going to be at the peak level of physical fitness on day one or day three or week one or month four. It's a progress. It's a process. And same with being a strong woman of God. It's a learning process. There's a Bible verse that's just coming to me on it's you learn, practice righteousness. You're practicing it. It is not something that's going to come naturally. You know, it's going to, my natural is annoyance because I've been a very weak woman. That emotional driven, not necessarily the culture, but just, oh, I'm upset. Oh, something bad happened. Oh, my emotions, this and that. Being loud, like, this is my way. Being aggressive. Aggressive is so weak. It's not gentle and quiet. When you're aggressive and controlling, you're very fragile. You don't have to. My mom, I used to think of her as weak. She's 5'2", and she was always, listen for these things, she's always singing hymns. She was always cheerful. She had a smile on her face. Okay? And I thought, what a doormat. And she was letting everybody walk all over her. She's not looking out for herself. I look at now and go, my goodness, what a strong woman of God. Wow. Wow, could I be that way? The Proverbs 31 woman, she seeks to pour out all her effort and whatever she does, not for herself, not in her own strength, but for her people through the strength available from the Holy Spirit. She is mentally, she is spiritually strong, full of faith and joy. She's unbothered by criticism because she knows who she serves. She's focused on running the race as to win the prize. She's going to use whatever physical strength she has, some greater, some less, but whatever she has to push forward, keep her body as healthy as possible to serve others. She will refrain from dressing herself with weakness. She will keep her emotions in check. And when she does not, she will ask God for forgiveness. She will ask her family, her friends, whoever, for forgiveness and move on. She will refuse to fall in a victim mentality. All of our lives are hard in some way. That is the nature of the fallen world. We're not going to be victims. God says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Not on our own, but in Christ. We are more than conquerors. Super conquerors, I think, is what I heard John MacArthur say the term was. It's not the last time, interestingly, that Proverbs 31 is going to mention strength. In verse 25, it's going to talk about how strength and dignity are her clothing. Such interesting, girding yourself, clothing ourselves as women with strength. It reminds us when we are told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strength. We are expected as women to be strong. But don't follow the feminists who think we are only strong if we are like a man. Be strong like a man. I'd like to challenge you to be strong as God defines strength. Be strong like a girl. Thank you.